Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right. Oh. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, that was close, wasn't it? That was bloody close. I didn't see us doing it that time. Ye of little faith. I didn't see us winning that. I didn't. I'm glad. That is just some personal news today. I've become an uncle for the first time. And it's nice to see that my new nephew... Neither of his parents, my sister nor my brother-in-law, have any interest in football whatsoever. So I have let them know that I will be claiming him as a Spurs fan. So it's good to see that on his first day on earth, he didn't witness it, did he? But still, his first day on this planet, Tottenham Hotspur have given him a win. So yeah, that's good. Happy about that. It's lovely. Lovely feeling. Lovely for all of it. Well, I mean that, the family stuff, but also just Spurs turning that around. I wasn't too confident going into the game. I was thinking Palace, some good little players. Glasner might have them playing a bit. I know he's only been there for a couple of weeks or so, but still, you know, his Frankfurt team were pretty decent. They were pretty decent. And that first half... Let's start with a miserable bit, all right? And don't turn off. I'm not being all negative, right? I'm just saying, let's just start with this bit. That first half was I think we can all agree, right? It was an abomination, wasn't it? Was not good at all. We'd seen Spurs put out a pretty lackluster, pretty, you know, crap, let's say, performance against Wolves. We've had our sort of impromptu break. I mean, to Chelsea being in the cup final. And I think we were all expecting something a bit more from Spurs today in the opening instances of this game. And again, it felt like much the same, didn't it? It all felt a bit pedestrian. It all felt a bit predictable. It's been spoken about on Twitter. What's going on here? Like, what's happening to Spurs? And I was just sort of, I was thinking... Everything's going down the wings. We've got nothing coming through the centre. Madison still doesn't look entirely fit. Not at the races. Bentancur definitely doesn't look entirely at the races. Bissouma, I'll talk about him more when I do the players, but not a good performance from Bissouma, I didn't think. And it felt very obvious what Spurs were trying to do. We had that one opportunity that Timo Werner fluffed. And to be fair to him, I was having a conversation about this on Twitter again. Werner's made that opportunity. Werner's kind of physicality, the fact he's had that incredible touch, that lovely run straight through the centre of the pitch, made strides down there to get into the box, get one-on-one with the keeper. But I think we all knew, didn't we? He's just not a finisher anymore, which is mad because when you see early compilations of Timo Werner, he was scoring goals for fun. Like all different types of goals. He was absolutely amazing. I remember there was a bit of a sort of transfer saga between Chelsea and Liverpool as to who was going to sign Werner. And I had no idea who he was at that point. I can remember watching videos of him at that point thinking, oh, fuck's sake, one of these two's going to get him. It's exactly what Spurs need. And then obviously he's gone to Chelsea. He's had the experience that he's had there. And it feels like it's broken him a little bit, doesn't it? Because that, he should have been... I've seen a few people say on Twitter, it was a good save from the keeper. Was it? Or did Werner just dwell on it for too long? And did he make too much of an angle? And I don't know. But He's made that. The thing is frustrating about. I want to say up front, my opinion hasn't changed on this. I really like Werner. I wanted him to start today. I really like what he brings to the team. I like how dangerous he looks. He's obviously scored a goal in the second half, but I'm mainly referring to what's happened in the first half. I really like what he does. I really like what he brings to the team. You know, I've sort of stuck up for Brian Hill before. And, oh, hang on. Getting a coffee delivered to me. Lovely. Thank you, Charlotte. That's all right. There you go. Look at that. Lovely. I love what Timo Werner brings to the side. I've stuck up for Brian Hill before in the past, right? But I would rather have Timo Werner playing for us any day of the week than Brian Hill. I'm just saying, right? I would. However, as a finisher, he's, I don't know. If he could finish better than he can, better than he does, he would be costing us more than 15 million. I want to see us sign him. I want us to sign him. I think there's enough there for Tottenham to spend 15 million pounds on a player who is young, still youngish. What, 26 is he, I think? Who has experience, won a Champions League, all that type of stuff. And just has a little something else, right? He does have a little something else. We saw that in the second half when he scored the goal. But my point was sort of going back to this is before I sort of went down the Werner wormhole. Wormhole? Loophole? It is a wormhole, isn't it? I was just wondering if I'm going to go and see Dune tomorrow, so I'm wondering if I'm too lost in that. Not those disgusting popcorn buckets that people keep saying they want to have sex with. I'm sure you've seen those on the internet. But that first half, not good. Not good for Spurs. And a bit pedestrian, bit predictable. And I think we've just come to expect a bit more from Ange, haven't we? From Ange, from the players. And it's hard. It's kind of hard to know at this point what's going on. I was not happy that Sarr wasn't starting the game. I think Sarr is... Because I've seen a lot of people say, well, that's our best midfield, Bissouma and Bentancur. I don't agree. I know I go on about Sarr a lot. But I think he's probably our best midfielder. Best and maybe most important midfielder. Not if you're doing it in maybe a top trumps way or whatever, but top trumps, do they still do it? I think kids still play top trumps, don't they? So it's not that okay boomer, is it? I think... I just think Sarr, what he brings to the team, none of the others do. And without him... When Sarr is missing, we really miss what he gives to us, I think, more than any of the others. When I say any of the others, I basically mean Bentancur, Bissouma, Chuck Hoybier in there, Chuck Skip in there as well. I think Sarr's the best of them. As I always talk about, his ability to drop back, to receive the ball from the defence, never hides in that position, never ever hides at all. Always looks to receive the ball, always looks to carry it up the pitch and, you know, progress the ball from deep to get us moving, to get us attacking. And I don't think any of them do that. I don't think any of the rest of them do that. And I do think he was sorely lacking at points in the first half. And I know people are going to point to the second half and say, well, he didn't start playing then, but Kulusevski moved more centrally. And Kulusevski's somebody that can carry the ball forwards in that same way. The ball carrying kind of metric, if you like. That's what was absent from the team. Bissouma did do that for us in the first half of this season. But I don't know if he's been a bit rattled by, you know, he lost the ball outside the box a couple of times at the start of the season. He's picked up a few yellow cards, so maybe he's a bit more hesitant to get involved, get stuck in, if you like. But he used to impose himself on games so much, right, at the very start of the season, Bissouma. And it's just sorely lacking right now. It's sorely lacking from his game. And I tweeted something to that effect. I started getting dug out, like, why are you pinpointing Bissouma? And I think Bissouma's a good player. I'm not singling him out because I want to, because I've got some agenda against him, because I want him out of the team. I'm probably singling him out because I expect a lot more from him, because I think he's an amazing player. And I think he was an amazing player. When I did the, what is it like, when it was like one of the first big international breaks in the season, when we played maybe 10 or 15 games or something like that, I did a pod at that point with Sean Walsh, 90 Min's Sean Walsh. And we were sort of rating, doing one of those tier list things, rating all the different players and how important we thought they were to the team. We had Maddison at the top, and I had Bissouma alongside him, because I thought at that point Bissouma was absolutely just undroppable, unbelievable, was bringing so much to the team. And I don't know, it's just sorely lacking. The thing is, right, I can forgive a player getting back up to speed, right? That's fine. I know you're very big of me and all that type of stuff, but you can forgive that in a player. The thing that I find harder to at the moment, the thing that's frustrating me about him is, I do just think he's hiding. Like that first half, I couldn't have even sort of discernibly said what he'd done. I barely even saw him, you know, was he even playing, you know? Like, would you have really felt like anything was going amiss if, I don't know, whatever. If he wasn't playing, I know, because we'd have been down to 10 men and... I don't know, it's just stupid. I was trying to make a point. I missed it. Do you know what I mean? But it's, I don't know. It's a funny one. Tony Stark says one half Tottenham is back. Maybe. Maybe. Shawdash, never in doubt. Sunglasses emoji. Lots of people saying congrats. Spurs Simpson, Tony Stark. Shortly, yep, a few people because the news at the start. Thank you very much. Just James as well. Who also says Johnson, the impact sub. Monty Singh says, not going to lie, that was pedestrian nonsense for the most part. And yet we scored three, missed two good chances, and should have had a penalty. Oh my God, yeah, you reminded me there, mate. What is going on? What is going on with that penalty? It's a clear, this isn't just even like, and it's, yeah, we've won 3-1, but it still pisses me off. And this is, like, it pisses me off, not just because I'm a Spurs fan, not just because I wanted us to go 1-0 up. I mean, that probably is largely the reason for the emotional response to that. But it was a clear as day penalty on Werner. As in, like, when I saw it happen, it was one of those where you just kind of give it a little fist bump, as in, like, I've watched enough football, right, to know that's a penalty. Yeah, that's a penalty. And it's one of those when one of your team does that to somebody else, you're like, ah, fuck's sake. You don't even, you're not even like, get up, he's cheating. You're just like, yeah, penalty, penalty. He's not played the ball. Werner sold him one there. Like, Werner absolutely sold him, and he's gone in and he's tripped him up. And for VAR to look at that, and not give that a penalty, what the fuck are we doing? What is going on? What is happening? And I don't want this to be another, like, VAR rant, because it's getting boring. That's kind of what so much of football discussion is. But at the same time, what is going on? What is the point of it? If that is a, when has tripping a player up in the box, not getting the ball, ever not been a penalty? And I would go as far as to say, what happened to Werner was the exact, it was almost a carbon copy, Bentancur's foul on Eze that resulted in the free kick that he went on to score, and Bentancur getting a yellow card. There was no difference in the type of challenge. It was a sort of a rash decision from the defending party, trying to get the ball, trying to poke it out, missing it, mistiming it, and taking the player down. And that is a foul. Commentators try to kind of do these, like, try to do all these somersaults around it. No, actually, I think Werner has, you know, he's moved his foot into that. Fuck off, man. Come on, he sold him. That's what, you know, that's what Werner can do well, right? He's great at dribbling. He's so quick. He does frighten opposition players. His close control is actually very, very nice, I think. And he sold him, and he got brought down. It doesn't even need to be that deep. Like, I'm getting all aerated about it because it's frustrating, because it was such an obvious and straightforward penalty. It was a penalty. it's not even a like, I feel kind of, you know, we all have big opinions that sometimes in the back of our heads, we've got that nagging little, yeah, I might be mugging myself off here type thing. With this, I'm like, it's a penalty. It was a penalty. Annoying, but I've got to say as well, talking about that, and I think I can talk about this. I could be more effusive in my praise now because we won. What a free kick from Eze. What a free kick. What a goal. And what a player he is. It's such a shame. It's such a shame that he is going to be yet another player that will just go to the Man City stockpile. Whether they keep Jack Grealish or not when they bring in Eze, maybe not. I'm having Jack Grealish in a heartbeat at Spurs. I really am. If we can get the right... me and Phil were talking about this yesterday on the pod. You get the right sort of deal for him. 50, 60 mil, Jack Grealish. All day long. All day long. Because he's such a Tottenham player. He is such a Tottenham player, that lad. And I just love him. I think he's a great kid. Great player. I think he'd bring a lot to us. Bit of star factor. But Eze, Spurs Simpsons has said here, good audition by Eze. Not for us, mate, I don't think, unfortunately. Not for us. I don't know how much, I don't know what his contract's like. Don't know how much Palace would want for him. If he's got more than 2 years on his contract, I would imagine Eze is around the 80 to 100 mil mark, right? It's kind of, it's what football's like now, isn't it? Especially if somebody like Manchester City are in for him. That's what feels like a reasonable amount of money, given what the market's like, especially in England now. So yeah, Michael Olise, another lovely player. I'd have him at Spurs in a heartbeat. Heavily linked to Liverpool, though, I see. Liverpool and United as well. I think United maybe want to... Ratcliffe and that maybe want to make him one of their big new statement signings. As if Manchester United have learned nothing from the past few years going after statement signings. But who cares about them? Just Gems, first half was dire. Yep, agree. Hacker BLCPS says, first 40 minutes was a warm-up, half-time nap. Give it a go till 70, then go all out. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty accurate kind of description of what happened, innit? But it is frustrating. It is frustrating. I mean, is it though? We've won. We've won 3-1 as well. I'm feeling really quite good about that. Feeling really sort of quite happy. I was going from when they scored, and I'm usually pretty optimistic. I'm usually pretty kind of one of those that will fall back in the knowledge. I think Spurs can always get back into a game. But today I was just like, it's just not our day. Something's sort of not clicking with us. It's not really happening. And Johnson did change the game. I'll tell you what as well, when Johnson did come on and he missed that sitter straight away, I was sending all sorts to people on WhatsApp. And now I say on the pod, be patient with him and all this, but there's only so much. There's only so much. He just hasn't got it, has he? He just hasn't got it. All that shit you say in the heat of the moment. And then Connor, who I've had on the pod several times now, friend of the show, revelled, delighted even, like the shitbag that he is, in quote messaging me back all my Brennan Johnson slander. Stephen King said, Johnson showing his value to the team. He's a great impact sub. Real injection of pace and thrust. Needed that win. Coys. And happy belated birthday, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Stephen. Yep, it was my birthday on Wednesday. My last throes of youth now. My last year of my 30s. But apparently, when you're 39, that's when like you do something big. So, you know, watch this space. Drew Spencer says, it's weird that early in the season we were coming out of the blocks like crazy men for 20 minutes, then drifting a bit. Not really seen that for a while. Pressure getting to them a bit now, maybe? It's the million-dollar question, isn't it, Drew? Who knows, mate? Who knows? It's probably naive of us as fans. I'm not having a dig at you. I'm just saying. It's probably naive of us as fans to expect the team to not have any kind of peaks and troughs and stuff throughout the season, that we could have ourselves been in our own new manager bounce, if you like, new player bounce as well on top of that. Somebody like Maddison and the like, people like Maddison, who was absolutely flying. Bissouma as well, I was talking about at the top, absolutely flying. All kind of given that new lease of life. And now that things are a bit more, you know, it's kind of like becoming like, you know, you are over half a season in now. This is the job now. It's not all fun. This is when players have to dig deep. And this is when, really, it's one for the football cliches, this, but this is when you learn stuff about players. And this is when you learn about who's good for the team and who isn't. But then, do you know what, mate? Like, sometimes I sort of think maybe we look into... I mean, I say this as somebody who talks for, what, 40 minutes to an hour after most Spurs games. So I fully, fully appreciate the irony in this. But maybe sometimes we just look into this stuff too much. Maybe we look into our own team too much, in so much as... there are plenty of times when I watch Arsenal, hate watching them, hoping they'll lose, or Liverpool or City when they're not in competition with Arsenal, trying to stop Arsenal from winning something. That I watch them and I think they've not played at all well today, and yet those bastards, they still... Liverpool especially, Liverpool are one of those teams. Liverpool, they, don't get me wrong, they are playing some pretty solid football this year, but they're not spectacular. At least they don't look spectacular. Beg your pardon. Compared to how they have done in the past. And yet they keep getting results. And yet sometimes I think there's a habit with us as Spurs fans. Many of us, I'm sure there's plenty of people that will say, not me, you melt, I don't do that. But I do think there's a habit amongst us, there's a propensity amongst Spurs fans to say, well, yeah, we won, but what's the problem with that? What could we have done better there? Because we are hypercritical, because we're so used to seeing our team kind of not getting it over the line. We're so used to seeing ourselves stumble, and hence we want to almost like we're kind of the immune system of the club. We're looking for all the little faults, all the little things that are going wrong, and how we can fix that ahead of time, ahead of when there's a crunch period. And I think we're also just very sensitive to the idea of the wheels coming off, because we sort of cling on to, when we're having good times, when we're having good moments with the football, we cling on to it and we get quite scared that it's gonna go away, it's gonna slip through our fingers. So we're quick to sort of jump on things that we see that are going wrong. And I do this myself. Like I do this myself constantly. You know this. Any of you know this who watch this on the reg. Like, it's... I don't know. Because there's probably a lot of Arsenal fans, Chelsea fans, who have seen an afternoon like today, who have, you know, I don't know if they'll bother streaming it because it's not one of the main games on Sky or anything like that, but when they're just keeping up to date with it on whatever, they'll be seeing, oh, Spurs 1-0 down until, what, like the 75th, 76th minute? I'm not sure when we scored our first, around that sort of period, wasn't it? And they'll be thinking, oh, maybe they'll lose this afternoon. And then we come back and win 3-1, and they'll just be thinking, bastards. So Spurs are kind of, I hate to say it, but Spurs have kind of got that grit in them where they don't play well and they get it across the line. And maybe we just need to kind of get used to that. Because I think sometimes as well, when I'm just sort of thinking about this out loud, when I'm sort of trying to explore it, because for me, like, especially like 39 years old, as I'm saying, so growing up 90s, noughties, I associate really Spurs wins with Spurs having played really well. And it's almost like there's a sort of cognitive dissonance to being happy when Spurs don't play well but still win. There's something that just, I don't know, it almost just doesn't quite make sense. It's like that, you know, the sort of the viral video, the woman who's watching, like the guy dropping all the different shapes through all the different shape holes, but he just keeps dropping he keeps dropping everything through the square, and it's making her just like uncomfortable, and she can't stand watching it. There's something that there's kind of something like that with Spurs where it, like my brain just doesn't compute it at times when we win and we haven't played particularly well. Because like I say, Spurs wins were few and far between, you know? We would win, say, 60% of games at home, maybe. Pretty much lose every single away game. And that would be kind of what Spurs were like for ages and ages and ages until Martignol came along. And so now that we are a team that's actually good, right? And we don't always have to play amazingly well in order to win. It just feels a bit weird. It feels discordant. And I don't know. I've sort of gone on about that for a while. But it's a funny one. There's almost like a sort of sense of like relearning. I don't know. Unlearning and relearning how to follow your team. And it sounds like mad. Like you're sort of looking into it on too mad deep a level. But I kind of think there's something in that, really. Tony Stark says, if Werner could finish, he'd be one of the best five players in the world. Do you know, mate? Like, maybe you're saying that in a slightly hyperbolic fashion or not, but I do think he'd be like a cheat code. I really do. Like, because I think he's got so much ability. I really do think he's got so much ability. And it does seem to just be that, doesn't it? It's just the kind of finishing that just brings it down a bit. The Mosh Zone is saying Summer, Olise to City, Eze to us. I don't think either of them are going to come to us, mate. I'd love to have Eze. I'd love to have Olise. I'd love to have both of them, to be honest. I'd love to have either one of them. But I don't think either of them are coming to Spurs. Cameron Millage, always going to be difficult to break down a low block if you aren't a Pep team. Great resiliency from the boys. Yeah, you know, I do think there's something in that. I do think we are somewhat predictable, but, you know, there we go. Sun 33 says, better without Richarlison, ? No, I don't think there was a noticeable difference either way, if I'm brutally honest, mate. So, you know, I would be... one of the first to jump on any kind of like uptick I noticed him for. I don't hate Richarlison. I do like him. I do think he probably needs upgrading still. I know he's been in good form and everything like that. But when I say like, I do think, I'm talking about if Spurs want to win the league, if that's the step we want to take, we want to win the league, we want to challenge or win the Champions League, then I'm not sure Richarlison's the guy to do that. Like the guy to be leading the line for us to do that. But, you know, he's a good enough player, nice guy, all that type of thing. Julian Big says, "Watcher Jack, forgot you were on. Feels like ages. Thank heavens for that. Thank you, mate. Thank you, Julian." There was a little bit of me actually when I was watching the game afterwards. I was like, "Oh yeah, got to do the pod, haven't I? Better get ready for that. Better put on something that's not just my pants." Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone wants to see me just sitting about like that, not even my wife. So, I get it. I know I'm often sort of pretty waffly, rambly, verbose at times. It always feels after I've had a bit of a break for a week or so, it always feels more so. It always feels like I notice I can like nail a sort of a general running or a general arc of one of these post-match pods. And sometimes when there's been a bit of time off, I start to go a bit like, oh, where should I take this? Now I'm focusing on one player too much. What am I going to talk about in the second half? You know, I even forgot to bring up the penalty until I had, you know, you come and remind me of that. So, you know, that was a big old talking point, that one. Spurs are cheeky. Spurs Simpson says, guys, like the video, subscribe as well. Jack needs a haircut. I do. I actually do, don't I? It's getting to that point. You know, like, I always used to have a fade. I used to have a fade, short hair on the top, and I had that for, I don't know, 15 years or so, really. Probably, you know, give or take. And then when the pandemic came along, when lockdown came along and barbers were there, my hair sort of grew out a bit. And I sort of thought, oh, you know what? I'm in my mid-30s now. Maybe I'll change my hair up a bit. And I started growing it out a bit longer. And it's sort of stuck with me now. I quite like it, really. But it hasn't always been this way. But yeah, it is getting a bit... It's getting a bit floppy now, isn't it? It's getting a bit sort of... bit foppish. Bit 90s Hugh Grant-ish. That's not me trying to sort of pay myself a compliment there or anything, by the way. It's supposed to be... Supposed to be something of an insult. But yeah, thanks. Thanks, Spurs Simpsons, for pointing that out, mate. Cheers. Can I please turn the white robot? So that's Miffy. And I can't, I'm afraid. I would like to, but you see the... Right, hang on. If you are watching this, not listening, I know this won't make for good content. So behind me, if you are listening, Miffy, Dick Bruner is the creator of Miffy, like this little cartoon rabbit. Charlotte's half Dutch. It's a Dutch thing. She likes the lamp. It's not plugged in at the moment. We're sort of sorting the room out, hence the mess. But yeah, it is nice. It is actually a nice... It's got a little dimmer switch on it. People don't need to know about this, do they? Cliff says, a well-organised low block will always be the frustrating one to play against, even for the best sides in the world. Yes, we could do better, but it's not like we need to toss Ange in the bin. No. We don't. And I hope it isn't coming across like I am saying that we need to toss Ange in the bin. Do you know what? I tell you one thing that's thrown me a bit, is I was getting ready to, like, bitch about his substitutions. I was going to say, you know what? It's funny. There's odd parallels between him and Martin Jol. I really like them both. They're both kind of bringing good football back to Tottenham, but both of their subs are trash. And, like, it's one of these things, right, where I instinctively still feel that Ange's subs aren't particularly great. However, his subs keep on proving me wrong. Done against Brighton. He's done it again. He's done it again today, that Ange. Turning the game. Brennan Johnson. But, you know, end of the day, 3-1. Job's a good un. Come on, you Spurs. Spurs are on their way to top four, hopefully. Not on their way to Wembley. I've been gutted. Watching all of the FA Cup and stuff kicking off. Like, it's... I wish we were still in it. Why do we get City? Why do we get fucking City? Ooh, Brentford 2, Chelsea 2. Everton 1, West Ham 3. Fulham 3-0 over Brighton. Fulham having a mad end to the season. Newcastle 3, Wolves 0. Forest 0, Liverpool 1. Luton 0, Villa 0. Go on, Luton. Go on, Luton. Tommy Robinson's team, aren't they, Luton? just saying. No further comment than that. No further comment than that, Your Honour. Where are we in the league now? 50. So we're 3 points. 3 points off Villa with a game in hand. They've got a better goal difference than us as well. Bastards. It's annoying. I still back us for top four. I still back us for top four. Even if we do have that repulsive run of fixtures coming up, right? Repulsive run of fixtures. We'll see. Right, let's do the players.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, Guillermo Vicario didn't really have much to do. Could he have done better with a free kick? I don't think so. Hit a blinding shot, went right into the kind of corner. I think it was a good free kick, more than, you know, something that Vicario could have prevented. And then other than that, didn't really have an awful lot to do, did he? Great keeper, good bloke. Won that award, didn't he, during the week? So up the Vicario. Emerson Royale. Now, I think we're going to need to get a bit harsher here, because I appreciate the lad, and I've stuck up for him quite a lot the first half of the season. He tries hard. He's a trier, right? I do think he gives it his all every time he plays for us. He's just not very good, is he? Like, he really isn't very good. And I know this system isn't best suited to him. So I am talking about it all within the context of that, because I know people are always going to be quick to be like, well, the system doesn't suit him. And fine, but doesn't take away from the fact that he's just not really doing that great a job for Spurs, is he? And just not. We need viable backups or viable alternatives to Pedro Porro and Destiny Adoghi this summer. I mean, Cesc, bless him, is, you know, whatever. And Royale, could we get any money for Royale? Probably not. Royale's probably one of those players that we loan out to Atletico Madrid or something, and maybe there's a 12 million euro sell-on fee that they can activate after a season that they don't activate. And basically what we've had with Ndombele for the past however long, you know, kind of being loaned out with a view to buy and nobody wanting to buy him. I can kind of see that maybe being the case of Emerson Royale, but we need someone else in there. We just do. Whether there's someone in the academy, I don't know. That might be nice, mightn't it? Have someone to roll over for Pedro Porro, but maybe we need somebody with a bit more experience than that. Maybe we need somebody who's a bit more Premier League ready than an academy player. But sooner or later, we're going to have to start giving the academy players opportunities, don't we? I don't know. Christian Romero, lovely goal today. Kissed the badge, well up for it. I was a little disappointed with him. Goal aside, I didn't think Christian Romero was that good. I seem to recall him being kind of at fault for the first goal, for Palace's goal. And just, I get it's probably Ange's instructions, but often being so far up the pitch that he's caught out of position. And just not really being that. I just kind of get the feeling that sometimes he's not as alert to the danger as he maybe should be. And he does make fantastic last-ditch tackles, so I have to give him that. But maybe he makes so many of those because he doesn't read the game as well as he should do. I don't know. It feels a bit harsh because I know Cusi Romero is a big fan favourite. I know he's one of the vice-captains. I just, you know, when we talk about intrusive thoughts, right? We talk about intrusive thoughts. There's one with me with Romero where I'm like, if we got offered a decent amount of money for him, I might take it and roll the dice on like another new big centre back. I don't know. I don't think, the thing is, let me caveat this. I don't think that's urgent. I'm not saying that's something we need to make a point of doing this summer or something. I'm just saying, if it just so happened that somebody wanted to buy him, I don't know. I might roll the dice. I don't know. Paul Cole says, harsh on Emerson to compare him to Ndombele. I didn't compare him to Ndombele, Paul. I was saying the way in which, you know, nobody wants to buy Ndombele. They keep loaning him and then with a view to buying him and then they don't. I was saying I can see maybe a similar thing happen with Emerson, purely because I can't see another Premier League club buying Emerson. I don't know why, just an arbitrary statement on my part, but still, there we are. And I think anyone from abroad isn't going to pay us anywhere close. What did we spend on him? 30-odd mil? Nobody's going to pay us close to that. They might offer us like 12-odd mil and still probably not pay it because lots of European clubs just aren't buying players anymore. That's the only comparison that I've made. I haven't compared him to Ndombele as a player. So I'm just going to, you know, have you up on that. Just Gem says, I won't have Romero slander. Sorry. Hacker says, our back line are matadors who get gored by the bull constantly. I mean, is that in reference to Romero? Are you saying that Romero gores his teammates? The bull of the pampas, Christian Romero? I don't know. It feels like I've kind of gone down a bit of a route. I've started saying stuff and my mouth started flapping and noises have started coming out. And I've started saying a bit more than I really wanted to about Christian Romero off the back of this, who had an all right game. I don't think he was particularly great today, but I think he was all right. And now I'm talking about selling him and all that type of stuff. And let's put that back in a little box for now and like just forget about it, right? Mickey van der Ven, some great last-ditch tackles. He's probably going to be out for weeks now, isn't he? I don't really think he was fully at it after, you know, he went down in the first half, was injured. Sorry. Just having a slurp of coffee there. That's for you, Richie, who said that I drink like a creature when I do this pod. So, especially for you, that la. Mickey van der Ven, yeah, went down injured, didn't he, in that first half. And just, he was just sort of moving a bit gingerly, I think, for the rest of the game. Did his shoulder as well, didn't he, in the second half. And, I wouldn't be surprised if he's missing for a few games now, a couple of weeks or something, which would be annoying. I mean, have we got one more game and then another international break or something, I think? I can't remember. Destiny of Doggy. Defensively, maybe a little exposed at times today, once or twice. He got skinned, didn't he, at one point in the first half and gave away like a silly free kick. But going forwards, those bursts of energy that he gives to us, the way in which he kind of looks to start the attacks, looks to kind of bring like Madison to the fore. He's sensational, isn't he? He's sensational. And again, for a player that's as young as he is, to just be quite as good as he is, to quite at the level that he is pretty sensational. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he is hitting quite the levels that he was at the start of the season, because I don't think that he is. But I don't think any of them are right now. You know, he's within context of the rest of the squad, to be honest. But he's still a magnificent player, a wonderful, wonderful footballer. He's only going to go from strength to strength. He's on a mad trajectory. Yves Bissouma, I was talking about him in the first half a bit, so I won't sort of dwell on it for too much longer. Needs to give his head a bit of a wobble. Not quite the Yves Bissouma that I was loving at the start of the season. I think he shies away from getting involved a bit, which is a shame to see. And I want to see more from him. I want to see a lot more from him. I want to see him carrying the ball. I want to see that same press-resistant player, like unbelievable press resistance that we saw at the start of the season, who was holding on to possession in the midfield, who was starting attacks from deep again, as I say, that Saar does as well, who was linking up with Saar brilliantly, who was linking up with Madison beautifully. I want that player back again. I don't kind of want this player that's within his shell at the moment, that's kind of playing within himself. It's weird and I don't like it. So, you know, go away and let the other Yves Bissouma come back. James Madison. Look, there's flash. The thing is with Madison at the moment, right, there's flashes in pretty much every game that he plays where you're like, there he is. There's Madders. Great. Oh no, where's he going again? I don't think he's fully fit at all. And that's just what I'm going to put it down to. I don't think there needs to be any more deeper exposition on that. James Madison's a fantastic player. He's a wonderful, wonderful footballer. He's got that big big personality that we need. He's driven. He's a winner. He's just not that good at the moment, I don't think. But like I say, even with him not being that good, there's still flashes of his brilliance every time he's on a football pitch. So I think it will come once he's back up to speed. It was a big layoff for him. You know, he's not had an injury layoff that long in his entire career. Welcome to Tottenham Hotspur. And then, of course, he fucking does. But that's life, isn't it? That's what all the people say. Timo Werner spoke about him quite a bit in the first half as well. I like him. Just, you know, just get that confidence back. Hopefully the goal will have allowed him. Because you know what I was thinking? Even when that ball was like put on a plate for him, I was thinking, he's going to sky it, isn't he? He's going to kick it way over the goal and it's just going to be even more miserable for him. But the fact he got it, his first goal in a Spurs shirt, was looking pretty pumped about it as well. Hopefully that's just off his back a bit now. And, you know, we can start to see him kind of, you know, contributing with a few more goals. Because I think he has got such a kind of a unique ability within this squad. He's the closest thing we have to a Bale or a Salah or something like that. Please, please don't take that completely out of context either. Pretty sure you know exactly what I'm saying. Just in respect to, he's a ball carrier that can terrify the opposition. He can run at them, has great close control, has those kind of thunderous, you know, penetrating runs that he can do in the opposition half. He has all those kind of abilities. Wonderful touch, lovely technique, good vision, but his finishing is just way, way off. However, if he can somehow unlock that again, then we have a lovely, lovely player on our hands. And, you know, hopefully that's the start of things to come that day. Dejan Kulusevski, bit of a funny one, isn't it? Because I don't, it's sort of like what I, the way it kind of characterizes a lot of Dejan Kulusevski's kind of performances at the moment, whereby I want to say that I don't really think he did anything wrong, but I don't really think he did that much at all. I think he works hard. He's always putting in a shift, isn't he? Sort of going up and down the pitch, but I couldn't sit here in good faith and say that I thought that Dejan Kulusevski had an unbelievable game or anything, you know? And I'm not sure. I don't really know what's going on with that one. Again, if he's just, like I said, I think he shouldered a lot of the responsibility when there were all those injuries, and I think he worked himself into the ground a bit. And maybe he's just knackered. Maybe it's not any deeper than that. So let's leave that one there. Rodrigo Bentancur, decent but not fit. Again, not fully fit, and I don't know why he's starting ahead of Sarr. That's all I'm going to say. Son Heung-min, pretty quiet afternoon until it wasn't, and he scored a lovely goal. He breaks through, he's one-on-one with the keeper, and you're backing Son every time, right? You're backing Sonny every time. Unlike Timo Werner, when he broke through in a similar sort of fashion, you're not kind of backing him every time, are you? But Sonny, you are, and Sonny did what Sonny does. It's lovely. I think he's got a good record against Palace as well. I think he often, they're another one of those clubs that he sort of haunts. So that's good. I mean, a few subs made, none of them really made any sort of discernible impact on the team other than Brennan Johnson, who came on around the 60th minute and missed that sitter at the very top. But then obviously went on and made the goal that, you know, was our equaliser with some lovely, lovely play. And I think that's kind of what we want from Johnson at the moment, right? Because Ange keeps talking about in all of his pre-match press conferences, all of the time, that he wants to find out who can play the way he wants us to play. And he even, I think he said it at the start of this press conference, this one ahead of Crystal Palace, that they have a view to the end of the season. Not in such terms, but he basically called the rest of the season a bit of a free hit, in so much as he wants to see what players are where on their trajectory that's going to be able to help Spurs next season, with a view to us doing something next season. I think right now, Brennan Johnson is doing what we were hoping he would be doing when we signed him, which is coming on in the second half and providing an outlet for us, providing some new energy, some fresh legs, a new dimension to the team, something for the opposition team to worry about, right? And we've all sort of gotten a bit, not all of us, but you know what I'm saying, I'm just saying as a whatever collective. A lot of the discourse has been around Brennan Johnson being a bit of a disappointment, like about him, you know, not being exactly what we expected it to be. And some of that is way OTT criticism that comes from just the frustration and whatever, the sort of casual way, the lax way people talk on social media about footballers and football and all that type of thing. But I do think part of that is quite valid. I do think at times Brennan Johnson has looked like he's sort of shrunk a bit, playing within himself. His confidence has gone a bit. And I just think right now, him coming off the bench, 60th, 70th minute, is perfect. That's what I want to see from him, because he does, he's done it against Brighton, he's done it against today, he's done it again today. He's added some new impetus into the team, and it's good. I like to see that. And then in time, hopefully, once he's more settled, once he's got more confidence, once he's more sure of himself and the football we play and everything like that, then maybe he will be the guy that just starts games and, you know, whatever for us. But right now, I think what he's doing is good, and I'm happy to see him assuming this role as a super sub of sorts. But he really did miss a sitter today as well. I'm just saying. He missed a sitter. He's got to iron that shit out. He has to. So, yeah. Tottenham 3, Crystal Palace 1. Another miserable afternoon for the Eagles, which is good. Fuck them. I think there was enough there to suggest that Palace are going to be a pretty decent side. I think they will, you know, they'll be a tricky kind of outfit for a lot of teams. But you can't come to Tottenham Hotspur and think like you can kind of, you know, do whatever you like. You can't rule a gaff at Tottenham Hotspur. I know Wolves would like beg to differ, but you can't do it. They took off Eze, you know? They took off their best player. They took off the player that was managing to retain possession for them in the midfield to create opportunities for them constantly. They took him off the second he scored. Maybe he's not fully fit. I don't think he is fully fit, is he? So, understandable. But Spurs, we do have enough quality to make teams pay for that type of thing. Make teams pay for taking off their best players. And too bloody right. But, Villa are winning. So, whatever. Spurs have won. 3-1. Up the Spurs. Come on, you Spurs. Thank you, everybody. If you are watching this on YouTube right now, just hit the like button, that little thumbs up, right? Subscribe, all that type of thing. If you are listening to the audio version of this pod, please do leave a rating, leave a review. Apple, I won't go into this, it's annoying. But if you're on Spotify, like the pod. If you're listening on Apple, just sort of rate, review the pod, all that type of thing. Do have a Patreon, patreon.com/RTRpod, where do this type of thing before the game, like pre-match one of these. Speak to Phil on the Thursdays, where we do a little sort of 20, 30 minute bulletin of all the week's news. And speak to Jack Gallagher as well about Spurs and all that type of thing. Going to do a few other things. I've had one idea for another little Patreon show, but I need to iron it out a bit more. But it will sort of revolve around talking to anyone and anybody who has an interesting story that revolves around Spurs. Maybe something that happened on a match day. Maybe that's something that happened on the way to a game. Maybe somebody in the office saw you've got a Tottenham mug and some sort of story happened out the back of that. I don't know. Any sort of interesting stories that anybody has, that involve Tottenham Hotspur in some sort of capacity. Something, and it has to be actually genuinely interesting, right? If you do have any of that, send me an email to trunk@gmail.com. And then maybe we can sort of, you know, see what sort of feedback I get from that. And if you do have something, we can talk. We can do a little pod on it and, you know, see what you think. Yeah, so try and do that. But yeah, all of those things. Another 3 points in the bag for Tottenham Hotspur. Onwards and upwards to the Champions League. Let's have it. Come on, you Spurs. Much love. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.